Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome. You're tuned into Life is a Sacred Journey. Every week, we bring a new perspective to aging and caregiving. Here is your host, Michelle Pope.
Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to all of my family siblings out in our virtual neighborhood. I am so excited this morning because I had asked my dear friend Carolyn Brent to join us this morning to celebrate, because this will be the last day or sort of the last broadcast of this month where we will be celebrating the month of the woman. And also, it is also the full year of Life is a Sacred Journey on Facebook Live and on all of these platforms. So, yay! Yay! I was going to get canned stuff, and I forgot the balloon, so forgive me. But I'm so excited, and I want to thank Felicia and all of the folks. And I would never remember all of your names, so please, please know that I appreciate all of you so that have been with me from the first day, or with us from the first day. So, and Carolyn Brent has been with me for over a decade. Can you believe that? I mean, you know, in our lifetime, how many people walk with us for a decade, because particularly in this world, because we get to a place where we're in judgment and la, la, la. This has been a love fest and a sisterhood between Carolyn and I. And so I asked her to join us this morning, and we're going to do something special. She has some questions she's going to ask me, and I have some questions I'm going to ask her. And we're going to do that is because we wanted to celebrate womanhood. And we have each come to our place and our journey in different ways. We connected together in a way that also has helped us grow as women. But we thought we would share our story with you through each of us asking questions of one another. So sit back, get your tea, get your coffee, get your orange juice, get your water, get whatever you need, take your vitamins. And we're going to do this. But I want to say something first that's going to be, this is really important. So listen up, because I need you to take this out into the world. This week, I have been engaged with many conversations with our Asian siblings in our world. And as you know, in my life, I have Asian folks of ethnic background in my life that I love and adore, and that I would get on my knees and wash their feet. The hatred and the violence that is being inflicted upon our Asian human race siblings is wrong. The thing that we need to be fighting together is the implicit bias in the system that created it. Because if it wasn't systematic, then there is no way that I could look at my Asian brother or sister, meaning you and me and the humanity, and see that we need to be in war with each other. We need to sit at the table and have conversation. I'm hearing that a lot of our Asian siblings are frightened, and so they're going and buying guns. That's not going to work, because fear will make you shoot somebody that is innocent. So please, brothers and sisters of the human race, not of any ethnicity, because that's what that is. There's no such thing as it more than the human race. In the human race, you are an ethnicity. Let's get it not twisted. Just like a dog is a dog. And in the breeds, there's terrier, German shepherd, but they're dogs. And they know how to play in the park unless a human has taught them not to. People, stop being afraid of your fellow human being. Let's get together. And people who look like me, my people, brown and black people, let's not turn and fight and be the kind of people that they have stereotyped us to be. Let's stop being the movies that they make of us and the shows that they depict of us. We are a loving, caring people. Let's live into that destiny. Let's live into that legacy. And let's let them stop talking about us, because we do not resemble that. We are more than that. And our ancestors bled and died for more than that. My young people, we need you. But we do not need you walking around with pipes in your hands and hitting people over the head and robbing them. Yes, I know you're oppressed. I've been oppressed. We all been oppressed. But don't go out into the world that way, because they'll kill you. They're going to kill you because they want to. So calm it. Let's take it down. Let's get inside and touch that ancestral spirit that made us a strong and mighty people, and join in partnership with the other people of the human race to change this world. Not tomorrow, but today. I love my people. I love the human race. But until we come together and stop talking about what's good for me and only me, we will constantly murder each other in mind, thought, and deed. God be with you guys as you go through this. This is not easy, and this is the beginning of the race for those of us that haven't been on the journey a lifetime. Be with you. May the spirit of love be with you, because that's the only thing that's going to get us through. Thank you for letting me be on my soapbox for a few minutes, but I need to say this. It was on my heart. I've been on my knees this morning. Thank you, Sister Teresa, waking me up with prayer. And I was on my knees because I'm sick and tired of seeing only the negative images of my people that put fear in the heart of other people so much that they want to kill us. And we're more than that. We're more than that. Show us for who we are, because we're more than that. Now, happy days are here again, and I have my friend, my sister friend, Carolyn Britt, with me this morning. You know all about her. I met Carolyn over a decade ago up at the Capitol here in California, in Sacramento. I had the honor of testifying to our public health officials and department on behalf of our seniors and families and caregivers. And it's not something now that is new to me, but it was the first time actually that I had done it in that way. And Carolyn came out because I had to go to the bathroom, as always. And I ran out to go to the bathroom, and behind me I hear this angelic voice saying, "Miss Pope, can I talk to you? I really want," I said, "if you don't mind following me into the ladies' room, I would love to talk to you." And that began a relationship, a sisterhood, a friendship that has gone beyond. I feel like I've known her since all my life. She is the author of 8 books where she has told her journey of caring for her father, the family breakup because of one person wanting to do something, another person saying that's not right, and how she rose up behind that, going through health issues similar to mine, back issues, sciatic issues, where she said, "Wait a minute, I'm a healthy person. I live well, but what's wrong here? What do I need to do differently?" To where she became an award-winning, trophy-carrying bodybuilder, beautiful body, and then moved from California to a southern state. I won't tell you where unless she shares, and became television. I follow her because she follows me, and we love each other, and we're constantly just lifting each other up because this social media world isn't easy. People take pot shots at you all the time because they think that you joined it because you want that kind of dialogue with people. I'm here to tell you, no, I don't want that kind of dialogue. I want positive dialogue, positive energy. But Carolyn has been AARP, has come to her and said, come talk to our folks. I mean, she's a nationwide advocate as well as speaker. And so I just want to thank you, Carolyn, for your friendship, for bringing that strong sense of, yes, we can, as women to this platform and to the world. And then I want to thank, before I am remiss, because I know there are some beautiful men out there, Stuart Furman, Milton Davis, my son, all of you beautiful men, Anthony Jenkins, my other brother, my brother Gil, Tyler, all of you great men out there who know Gary Jones, who know how to walk with your women. You know how to support them in roles of friendship, and you know how to walk with them when you are married to them, to support them with love and words of lifting up and not making them something that is a stereotypical position in your life. And so thank you to all the men out there who are the great men who know how to love great women. But this is the month of the woman. And so I'm going to turn the mic over to my sister first to ask the first question. So I'm going to relinquish my hosting mic to my sister to ask the first question.
Well, first of all, thank you, Michelle. And when you talked about us meeting in Sacramento, that was a power talk, just like you did a few minutes ago. You brought tears to my eyes. That day, protecting seniors for basic needs like food, clothing, shelter, they need that too.
Yeah.
And that's why I chased you down to the ladies' room. I said, who is this lady? I've got to know her. So, Michelle, this is my question to you, because when talking about an inspiration, you inspire me even at this very moment. I mean, I just was thinking like, oh, boy, this is a great spiritual sermon I'm getting from the world's getting when you're talking about getting together, uniting as one, the human race. So my question is, at what age were you called in the ministry, and what drives you to this day to be the advocate that you are, especially for seniors? Because, you know, working around seniors, people don't think, at least I was told this 15 years ago, oh, that's not a sexy subject. You can never write a book on seniors because nobody ever buy it.
Don't do it.
So I did it anyway. I did it 8 months later. So my question to you is, when were you called into ministry, and what keeps driving you to this day? Because you are, and folks, this is what an advocate looks like.
I love you.
This is real. This is a fake. It's not funny.
No.
Keep going, no matter what.
That's right.
So back to you. When did all this start?
I think it started when I was a little girl. Many of you know, as a little girl, I had eczema. Really very bad, very bad eczema on my neck, my hand, the back of my my kneecaps. I mean, visibly bad. And I was bullied quite a bit in elementary school, middle school, all the way through high school. And inside of me, there was such pain from that bullying that I became the advocate for the underdog. So that moment where I felt invisible, where I felt, because at that time I thought people hated me. It's like, oh, they must hate me because they're bullying me. And then on top of it, you know, you have this segregation stuff going on. But that wasn't as much of my childhood turning as the bullying, because I always felt like, you know, I'm going to help people who feel the way that I do someday. I didn't know how that would manifest, and thank you for that question, Carolyn, because I had no idea how it was going to manifest, and I went into the retail world because I love fashion, I love fabrics, and that was where I loved it. But something kept pulling me out of it because it was I'm not going to say it was empty because I loved it, but it was empty in the sense that I wasn't doing anything to really change the lives. Yes, people felt good because I was a shopper for people and I would coordinate their outfits so they would feel good, but I realized I wasn't doing anything to change that place inside of people that would make them not bullies. And that led me to my spiritual journey of how to get rid of the hatred, honestly, how to get rid of the lack of judgment of those individuals who bullied me, and the hatred for the world around me that was oppressing me. So it was a journey, and it was probably the first 20, from 20 to 40, that 20-year period that created that change for me. But that's what made me an advocate today is, so I thank you all the bullies out there that are watching me now who bullied me, because I know you're out there. I know some of you are out there because I see you on Facebook, and I'm friends with some of you now, and you have no idea the impact that you made in my life. So that's how, when I tell people, always look at the bad and see how you can flip that coin, because there's two sides to every coin. And what that bullying did for me was help me to live out my purpose. I'm not saying people should be bullied, so don't get it twisted. But what I'm saying to all you bullies that bullied me, because this is about me, this question is, I'm responding to the question, thank you, because you made me a real strong person. And I'm happy. And my skin miraculously cleared up when I stopped focusing on the anger that I had towards the bullies, the hatred that I had towards the people that were segregating me and all of the other people around me that had harmed me because they didn't understand what was happening in my heart. When I forgave them, let them go, dropped the shopping bag, all of a sudden my eczema went away, and it doesn't flare up at all. So hallelujah.
That's heavy.
So I went into lay ministry now probably 15 years ago, when my son and daughter were young, or Milton was getting ready to move on and do what he was. And I realized that I needed to go back and get some edumacation, as they say. And so I took some online classes at the Fuller Institute on faith, religion, and society. And I then realized that I did not want to be an ordained minister. I felt like becoming ordained within any denomination for me, and this is not a, because I have ordained friends in Baptist, all of it, Buddhist, everything. But for me, I wanted to minister to the world, and I wanted to be able to be free to do that whenever and whatever. And it doesn't mean that the church doesn't allow that. It just means for me, I did not want to be in that kind of structure. I wanted to be a disciple that walked the streets more. And the church is changing to that. So praise God, the church is changing and looking at itself, and not just Methodism. The whole church is that we became very building centric, and thinking that people had to come to us. And now we're going faith based. Folks are realizing ministry doesn't just mean being a missionary. It means being a missionary where you live in your context. So that's why I became, just stayed in the lay ministry, and then was asked to be the conference lay leader for the United Methodist Church, and that has taken me into a trajectory that I have no idea what God has planned, but it's pretty awesome.
Wow, that's beautiful. That's
beautiful. Yeah.
Questions I've always wanted to ask.
All right, well, I'm going to ask you a couple now, and then we'll go come back to you. So we have been blessed, you and I, to be on a journey that we hear the voice of purpose. We hear the voice of our faith, hope, and our dreams. But I have a question for you is, you know, when you were pulled, and I always say had to because everything that I'm living out, I have to do. It's not like I have a choice. It's like the world is just like, I want to move from it, and it goes, nope, you're moving. Okay. So what sacrifices, though, personal or other, that you have to make on a day-to-day basis as well as prior to keep that when the purpose keeps saying, no, Carolyn, and you say, no, but you, and so what sacrifices do you make to stay in alignment with your purpose?
My vision, God's vision for me, and let me show you this. This right here, Michelle, is the 12 years of being a caregiver for my father. This is his medical, financial, legal records that I counted around with me, and we're talking about 1997 to 2007. I did all of this,
wow.
Or 2006, and people thought I was crazy. They thought, why are you toting your dad's records? But I was in the pharmaceutical industry, and I learned everything has to be evidence-based. But I didn't realize God was preparing me for the mission I'm doing today.
Got
That's
it.
How I stay focused. Because why would I put something like this together, which most people have never seen, a binder with all these medical records, but it's you know, 12 years of medical records, financial, legal, and all of my work is based on medical, financial, emotional, because that's what caregivers go through.
Yes,
so
yes.
It's just like me. I keep being pulled back, and what keeps me going is my faith in God and the vision that he's given me, and the sacrifice is my life. I've dedicated my whole entire life to the mission of helping others, because when I discovered my purpose of being born, why I was born, then I have given my life to God, and I follow my purpose, I follow my dreams, and there's a lot of haters with me too.
Oh, I'm sure.
My name has been stolen, someone started a business with my name.
I know. Oh my gosh.
Where he was buried or when or he died in the early years. But I live my life with purpose that keeps pulling me. So the work is not, the sacrifice is my life, but it's not really a sacrifice because I love what I do. And
wow.
I'm clear with it. It's no big deal, but I've given my life for helping others because I believe everyone was born with the gift of serving. Everyone.
Yes.
But Michelle, I've noticed there's too many people trying to still I'll say your gift or my gift or someone else's gift. They feel like it's sexy and beautiful. They want it. But they don't realize we are designed, like you talked about having eczema as a kid and feeling invisible. But that was preparing you for what you're doing today.
Mm.
And people don't realize this right here, that God was preparing me for stuff like this.
Right, right, with tabs. I see your tabs. With tabs.
I had ever written, which was my father's life as a veteran, as a minister, as a person that loved me, that taught me about God, because he was a pastor.
I remember.
So therefore, now all these years later, I still have this book. It's still in great condition, and I share with people. I didn't just get like this. I was born to do what I'm doing, and I've been called to do it, told to do it, and I'll always do it. So the sacrifice is my life because I dedicate myself.
Yes, you
but
do.
I love it.
Yeah.
I love what I do.
Yeah.
So is it a sacrifice? Yeah and no. And there's money. There's money perks. Everyone wants to know about money. I have spent hundreds and thousands of dollars of my own money. My 401k. I've invested it.
Right.
So people want to know, well, how much are you making? Or no, God will give you the money and give you the will, give you the desire. I'm 64 years old. I'm living my best life right now.
I'm right behind you, sis. May.
Yeah. I mean, I'm living my best
life.
I'm being able to have a mental clarity. I love being able to talk to you, Michelle. This is, I mean, this right here is phenomenal.
It's
and
heaven on earth. It's heaven on earth.
Doing the same thing, you know, we're doing the same mission. It's beautiful.
I love it. My second question is, you know, one of the things that I'm constantly, again, my daughter is one of my greatest teachers. I've told you this. And I'm always trying to figure out, like, when I say, I don't really care what people think of me, is that really what the messaging that I'm trying to give? And the answer is yes. But I want you to explain that, because I learned this from you, actually. What does that statement mean? Like, I wrote the question this way because I was thinking about it last night and I wanted to make sure my thoughts were clear. And it's, I wrote, does it really matter what others think of us or me or you? How often do you ask, or do we ask ourselves that? How have you overcome the comparison trap to honor your own uniqueness? You know, there's that.
Michelle, that's a no-brainer, easy question.
Okay.
When you're on mission, and you know that you're called to do something, you cannot afford to think what people think about it. Because, once again, I've been on mission, and I wanted to write about death and dying. But I was told, oh, if you write about that, you'll never sell a book. Oh, you can't mix beauty and health and caregiving and end of life together. Guess what? That's what my platform's all about.
That's
so
right.
You can't care, or I don't care what people think, because there's going to be some haters out there. There's going to be some people that's going to exalt me. There's going to be some people that's going to push me.
Yeah.
There's going to be people that motivate me. So I know I love being unique. My unique gifts that I've been blessed with,
mm-hmm.
and I will continue to stay focused on those gifts, because if I thought about what people wrote about me, and I have some, there's some people that have given me like a 1-star with my writing, and I'm going, okay, thank you for the 1-star, but my work is in the United States Congress, it's in Harvard, it's in Stanford, somebody likes it. That's the way you got to look at it.
Yeah.
So, or the naysayers or the people that want to come after, I know who their God is and who they're working for. So therefore, you can't pay attention to it. You got to stay focused.
Yeah.
So that's what I do. And Michelle, what keeps you focused? Because you're very, very focused.
I think the same thing. I think it's about I'm not measuring myself against anyone. I'm not trying to be anyone, and so therefore there's no, I'm not sitting back going, I failed today because I didn't do it this way or that way. I look at my own sense of, like you said, sense of goals and trajectory of where I am, and then I don't set goals that are not divine goals. So I try not to be the one saying this is what I want to happen. I'm always trying to say, okay, universal creator, what is it that you want to happen for me, and then help me to manifest the fruits of those things. And I think that's what keeps me focused. And then I have the honor of being around people like you. You help me to be focused because, again, Felicia, you and the interns that I had all of these last years are the reason that Life is a Sacred Journey even exists, because you said, stop being afraid, basically, of how you were created. I was trying to, Carolyn, silence my own self, because I could see that the reaction that people had to my words, like what I said earlier this morning, there are going to be people out there who rolled their eyes during that, and I'm an empath. That's my spiritual gift. And so I can look at you, even in a Zoom meeting, and tell whether you're appreciating what I'm saying or not, and almost can tell what you're thinking about me at that point. And I've seen more negative thinking than I have seen positive, and I was afraid.
I got you. Yeah, fear will stop a person. That's why a person cannot afford to think what others think about them. That's just a spirit of fear, and I don't deal with fear at all. I deal with God Almighty. That's just me. But Michelle, I have a question. As the CEO of the Alzheimer's East Bay, a mother, you've dealt with many thousands of caregivers.
Yes.
Why is it that caregiving, people think when you're a caregiver, if you practice self-care, that equals vanity? Could you please?
Oh, no.
Really,
and I had to learn this because I am a giver to my own demise. And again, thank you to the kids, because they were the ones, and specifically Jade, said to me, you're working, caring for everybody else, but what about you? What about you, Mom? What are you doing to bring joy in your life? You're bringing joy into others' lives. You're constantly worried about other people. And we're watching you, and I'm worried about you. And I said, but Jade, and she said, yes, but always with a thought to jump off and go do something else. She said, you've never had a day off where you just did for you. It's, oh, I'll do something for me after I do something for. And that's what I say to caregivers a lot, is that when I was a single parent, or I am a single parent, I'll always be a single, but I meant when the kids were little, I didn't realize I was getting burnt out because I didn't have that person at the kitchen table to have a conversation with about where our finances were going or what I was going to do here or there or whatever. And it created a lot. And finally, I realized I need to take a break. And so my good friend Karen would then watch the children. The children would go and spend a weekend with her, and I would be able to be by myself to think about things, cry about things, lament, whatever. And when the children would return, I would be so happy to see them. And I realized that's caregiving, that you have to take the break away so that you can enjoy the caregiving experience and get the good out of that experience. Or if you're in it and you stay in it 24/7, 365 times how many years, you will come out of that with a lot of despair, a lot of grief, a lot of disconnect. And then when you look in the mirror after that caregiving experience is over, you won't know yourself. You won't know yourself. And that's why a lot of parents have, what do they call that, Carolyn? Empty nest syndrome and all of that. I'm not saying that you shouldn't miss your kids. I miss my kids every day. I walk up and down the hall thinking, oh, this used to be her room. This used to be his room. But I am in I glorify the fact that they're living abundantly in the world and living out all the hard work. And so, and then I want to do me. So I'm like, yay, we're all happy. But if I hadn't taken time to get to know me, and I think that's what caregiving is all about. You change when you become a caregiver. You know that because you have to take on this other brain. So not the left and right, but another whole brain that you're managing the life of that person. But you have got to take care of yourself because you are a person. And then that person that you're caring for deserves your best, and you're not your best when you don't care for yourself. So does that answer
it? Self-care is vanity, though. That's my question. There's a misconnect.
Well, but that's because the world has told us that, right? The world teaches us. This is this whole stupid machine of misinformation that work until you bleed from your eyes, serve this person until you hate them. I mean, no, the relationship with every human being is one that's supposed to be fostered through love. And love says, step away from me, particularly if I have dementia and all these things that really create this you've got to step out of it and be out of it in order to see it for what it is and to love that person, the new person that is forming around you. It is not vanity. Vanity is when you sit in the mirror all day long and just do nothing but fix yourself. That's vanity. Vanity is when you say, oh, I'm going to let my loved one lay in the bed and I'm not going to care that they have lipstick on and I'm going to walk in the room with lipstick. That's vanity. But taking care of yourself is maybe, if it's your caregiver, you put your makeup on together. While you got your little mirror, you put the, if it's a woman, if it's a man, you shave together. I don't know what it is. But instead of turning the caregiving relationship into if I do this, you do this. If I do this, you feel this. Create a relationship. A relationship means I take you on my journey. You take me on your journey. I know when I need to not be on the journey with you because I need to go and plug in somewhere, like the cars, the hybrid cars, and then I'll come back. And I can be more abundant in love. You know, I'm going to go biblical on you. Jesus left the disciples many times to go and be by himself so that he could, in fact, restore. Because God only knows the humanity that he was walking around was probably driving him crazy because he was trying to teach them how to love and to be good, and they were running around doing the complete opposite. So he had to go away and be alone. Go to the beach, take a 10-minute walk. Carolyn does that. My question for her in a minute, you'll hear it. But go away, do something. You can go to an air. I did this, I think Jade helped me to do this not too long ago. I went and stayed in a place just overnight.
Yeah.
You know, and came back home. No big deal. You know, came back in enough time to walk the dogs. You know, it was just being in a new place where my senses had to be alive and super vigilant and on and looking and noticing. That's what we're trying to do. Carolyn, tell them, in life, it is about going out and living this amount of time. This amount of time. It's not going in and trying. I'm not trying to figure out what the next decade has for me.
Absolutely.
I ain't got time for that. I don't even know if I'll be here for that, but I'm here now, and in the now, I'm learning so much. So my question for my sister is, if I would call you on 10 o'clock on a Saturday morning, what would you be doing?
One of two things. I would either be in a class, I'm talking about a fitness class,
okay,
upper body, lower body, or something, or if I'm not in that fitness class, I'm going to be walking along the shores of the beach going, dear God, this is beautiful. Thank you, Jesus. I walk and I meditate and I just look around me and I'm going, I'm living my best life right now. And I'm not on vacation. This is down the street from where I live. And I just thank God. I'm going, people save up for retirement. They save up for vacation. I guess my life is a vacation because I could do it any time I want. But what it does is it just energizes me.
Yes.
And it keeps me on focus with my purpose. That's why the university that God had me to create is called Deep Beauty, Health and Wellness University. And that deep beauty is based on the ocean. How deep is the ocean? How deep does it go down? I look at people sitting on the beach and they're staring at the ocean. I say, why? Because they're meditating, they're regrouping, they're restoring, they're, you know, energizing. And people flock to the ocean all the time. So I'm one of the folks that will go, but I go early in the morning.
Okay.
At 7:30, but I'm still walking at 10:30. Because I take my time and I do a little video. I mean,
seen the video. If you guys, please go to Carolyn's website, because she does take you on her walks with you, and they're beautiful, and you can hear the ocean moving behind her. So please do that. Thank you for taking us on those walks.
Well, you know, and my message is clearly that caregiving and self-care go hand in hand.
Mm-hmm.
That's my message. So that's my self-care when I go to the ocean, self-care when I go to the gym, self-care. So I'm talking to you, that's self-care too.
Always. We lift each other up. So there's young baby women out there that are watching this world go round. And we have moved from a trajectory of I am woman, hear me roar, to the messaging in our media. You are in beauty, and you take care of your body. You're a bodybuilder. We know that. But some of the messaging that is going out to the young women of today is putting them in a position where they're not able to live their best lives because the world has told them that the sexuality of their body is more important than the health of the temple and the beauty of the body in the sense that it is your temple that's going to carry you through your lifetime. Can you speak to that, Carolyn, a little bit from your perspective and your university? Are you going to help our young women know that, yes, beauty is wonderful, but when you overdo it, or when you do things to yourself that change you so much that the essence of who you are is no longer there, there's something about your soul that talk to that. You and I have talked about this, so I want to leave it to you to share.
That's the deep beauty that resonates in the soul, mm-hmm. because within it will resonate and show outwardly. So what I would say to the young women, take care of your bodies now. It's the temple. And I'm not talking about the outer. I'm talking about the inner. That's where it all starts. Because if you eat the right foods for your body type and your weight type and everything else, really get to know yourself. Most people don't even know what their bodies need. They're too busy trying to mimic someone else.
Yeah.
Embrace yourself. Know what your blood type is and try to eat for your blood type. Know what makes you happy. You got to... literally, I'll say, have a get to know thyself. That's where the deep beauty comes in. A lot of people are too busy trying to be like someone else. You can't be like someone else. You got to be yourself. You got to be authentically you. For example, Michelle, today when we saw each other, we both had on tanks. We didn't plan this.
No.
We did because we are authentically ourselves. Now,
yeah.
When a person concentrates on that inner beauty, and I talk about the mental, financial, legal, anything when
yeah.
it comes to inside, it will resonate on the outside. Once
yeah.
again, I'm 64 years old. I'm bone on bone in my spine. I deal with some type of pain on a daily basis, but once again, I deal with it. I manage it because I watch what I eat. I keep negative, stinking, thinking people out of my life. They don't have permission. If they want to act negative and stinking, I will block them on all my social media. I don't want to read any of what they have to say because they don't mean nothing to me. So I surround myself with positivity. And
I love her.
Girls, that's what I tell men. That's what I tell women. That's what my university is all about. And that's what all my books are all about. You got to take care of that inner woman or that inner man. And whatever in will surface.
Yes. Yes.
There's a lot of counterfeit people out there on social media. So I tell people, vet
yeah.
whoever you want to follow. Why are you following them anyway? You need to follow yourself. You need to do something for self instead of being, oh, I'm a follower of blah, blah, blah. Create your own. We all have a purpose for living, a purpose for being born, a purpose for just everything.
Yes.
So if I'm living my purpose, that makes me happy.
Yes.
It just, that energy that I praise God I have, and then it shows with outer beauty.
Exactly. It does, and you don't even have to worry about it. You know, I'm so thankful to Carolyn because, as you all know, this is my little, she has really helped me to, since I had the sciatic thing now, it'll be a year in September, and I am really, took on a whole different health process. I've lost about 18 pounds now. And I feel great. I've been working out. I actually decided that Pilates was the best for me because of my asthma, that doing any, you know, I tried the bicycle and all of that, but Pilates just seems to work because the gentleman who created Pilates had asthma, and so he created it specifically for people who breathe like me. And then walking the dogs, going for my walk. Last Saturday or last Sunday morning, I went to the beach and watched the sun come up with my pups. And, you know, turned around and came back home and was home in time for morning worship. And so those are the kinds of things that you do for yourself. That's what Carolyn's talking about. And then what happens is that from the inside out, you shine.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry. I put a little makeup on, absolutely, for the camera. But at the end of the day, if you run across me 99.9% of the time, all you're going to see, I always wear lips. Because my children have told me that I need the lips. They like that it illuminates me. But at the end of the day, you know, you can wear makeup, but, you know, baby women out there, you're doing too much. You're hiding yourself and the beauty of yourself to mock something that somebody told you that you needed to do. And I love you all so much, and you're so beautiful, but I've been seeing people with eyelashes that are so big and so heavy, you can't even see the pupil of your eyes, the beautiful eyes that we can see to the soul. Ask yourself why somebody would make something so popular, like a cell phone, where you're doing this all the time, or something that closes your eyes, that weighs you down so much that you can't see. Start questioning these little subtleties of life, and you will begin to understand, well, because they don't want you to see, boo-boo.
Yeah.
It's as simple as that. They don't want you to see, because if you can't see, then you're disoriented, aren't you? Because seeing is one of your senses. Right, Carolyn? If you can't hear properly because everything is so loud and so then the whisper of the truth you cannot hear. The chaos comes. What is chaos? What comes from chaos, Carolyn?
You know what? It's destruction. That's the only end for chaos is destruction.
Yeah.
Self-doubt, depression. And the depression among teenagers now is at an all-time high. Why is that? Social media could be causing it, but what we see on social media, it's not even real stuff. There's so much Photoshop going on, so much this, so much that. There's people with pictures. What do they call it, catfishing? I mean,
oh, my gosh, yes.
You know, so that's why I love doing live shows, so people know, this is real. This is real. I am a real person. I am not counterfeit. I'm real. I will thank God every year that God gives me another year on this planet, and I will be doing the same thing. So people got to embrace who they are.
Yeah.
And they must be amazed at how happy, what true happiness, that joy that resonates in your soul when you're really doing what you were born and designed to do.
And Carolyn, from your perspective, that created an illumination around you and an illumination around your work because people started coming to you. That's the one thing that I want people to understand is that it wasn't just Carolyn doing what she was doing, but she was living out her purpose, and in living out her purpose, then other people saw that they could live out their purpose by connecting and partnering with her, and that creates the roar and the momentum of things that you could never imagine. That's the dreaming, right?
Yeah. You know, the roar and the momentum. Once again, 14 years ago, I was told no one will ever buy your work, and now I'm in 1,094 libraries worldwide, my work has, and 8 publishing companies have published my work.
Yeah.
So the bottom line is that you have to live your purpose. Your purpose, you got to live it. And I thank God for this Women's Month. I thank God for Pink. I thank God for women like yourself, Michelle, because
you
are truly my sister.
Yeah.
And anytime I'm up, you're there. Anytime I'm down, anytime I need help, you are there. And I want to thank you, Michelle. I love you so much.
Well, Thank you, Carolyn. And let me just say this, too, and I'm going to ask you to answer the last question before we close today. When we are thinking about the role of the woman, since this is Women's Month, and we think about the roles that women play, and I remember, and you will remember this, that in my growing up, in my 20s, we were being told to, I think there was a commercial, I can't remember what it was for, but the lady had on a suit, and she had the baby on her hip, and she had the briefcase. Oh, I can take home, I can bring home the bacon, and do something else, and then never let him forget he's a man. Okay, weird, okay, in this day, in this time that we're talking now. But she had her briefcase, she had her baby, and then she could still make sure that her man felt, and that was the woman's movement. Fast forward, you know, here we sit, and we now realize that movement, while beautiful in getting pay rights, which still we don't have equally for the same role. I know that a CEO at a nonprofit that's a man as well as an Anglo person makes more money than I do. I just know that. That's the system, right? And then so when you think about that story and where we are now, where do we get balance finally in all of this?
Is that a question for me?
Yes, ma'am.
You know what? I think the balance is know thyself, because you can't live based on what society is telling you what you should do, or you got to just know thyself.
Yeah.
And a person has to balance their own life. They have to take control, be responsible, because we have so often, Michelle, we blame everybody for the lack of.
Yeah.
But we keep fighting. I call it the good fight of day. Regardless of what the world gives us, regardless of the stones that's being thrown at us, the more stones that's thrown at me, the stronger I get. That it has ignited me, just like the bullies that bullied you.
Yeah.
That's the world. My sister, she bullied me. She took my daddy, burying him the whole day. I could have been crushed forever, but God had a purpose in my life, and I chose to follow the purpose. So the mission, there's a book that I wrote specifically regarding my father called Amazing Grace.
I mean,
it's sermon. And I'm going, thank you, God, because I'm living purpose. So we can't look at what the world or society or even our personal challenges we deal with in our families. We have to truly know thyself and have a relationship with self and connect with really powerful women like yourself, Michelle.
Well,
I thank God for you. You were the one that started my advocacy, I mean, head on. When I saw you up there talking, I said, oh, my God, I got to know this lady, because she truly cares about people.
Yeah.
And that they eat, the seniors eat food. We're talking about food.
We were talking about food. That's right. And I said, I told the politicians, that's why she came after me. I said to them, shame on you. Shame on you, because you ate today, and I'm sure you had a mighty fine meal, and you want to cut dollars to meal programs for people who don't have anything just because you come from that level of a socioeconomic caste system. You know, we need to start speaking the truth to each other, and Carolyn, thank you. Know thyself.
Know thyself.
To thyself be true. I mean, we could go through. I want to tell you something, and I'm excited to share this with all of you, with Carolyn present. Carolyn and I really, 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 really are kindred spirits, and we are sisters. And when I say that to you, please don't get all walked out and think it's crazy, because we are sisters. We wore pink today without even talking about it, so that tells you volumes. But we want to come together and spend more time with the young women and women of this platform, and women that you bring to the platform. She and I have been discussing the woman's retreat that I have laid before you in the past. I am ready to pick a date. I am ready to work with Carolyn as one of our keynote speakers and have her own platform in that moment so that we can, and I'm going to bring one other person to this conversation, and it will be somebody to talk about finances. So, because for me, the freedom of being, how do I say this? The freedom of my womanhood is because I am free from the chains of a financial position that would have brought me down. Does not mean I'm a multimillionaire. Does not mean I have thousands and thousands of dollars in the bank. It does not mean that, because that's a secular measurement. But what it means is anytime I need, what Carolyn just said, anytime I need something, I know I'm going to get it. I either can produce it myself by doing something, or I can share my idea with someone else and they will help me produce it, or I can share it with a group of people and they can help me produce it. And then, of course, it always comes from the divine. But at the end of the day, it's not about how much money I have in the bank at any one given moment. So it's about, and I'm not talking about this, that manifestation guru stuff. I'm talking about just knowing where it all comes from, knowing that if it's in my heart to do it and it's divinely being given to me as my purpose, the resources for it are already there. I just need to open my eyes, listen, open my heart. And then all of a sudden I'm like, oh, wow, oh, wow. I told Carolyn, I go in my pockets a lot and find a dollar or a $5 bill or a $20. I'm like, where did this money come from? And it's changed because I don't care about it. That's when you know you are free, because I am not chasing that stuff. I don't use credit anymore. I mean, it's just like, it. All of a sudden it was like, wait a minute, why am I giving you my money to go buy something? I just saved my money, and then I can go buy what I want when I want it. So we're going to do this. We're going to do this together. We're going to pick a date that Carolyn and I can do it. We're going to do it on a Saturday so that you don't have to worry, and you can, if you need to find someone to help you with caregiving, we'll even help with that. We'll figure out ways that you can get caregiving support. For those of you who are out of our local area here in Alameda County, we will give you enough time so that you can spend 2 hours,
yeah.
2 hours with us. And yes, there will be a nominal fee, but that is not to pay me and Carolyn. That is to pay the people who, or give a stipend to the people who will help us produce the breakout rooms and all of that. This will be our first retreat together. Won't be our last. One day we will do one in person in a beautiful setting where you can come, and of course that's going to be different, but we're not going to stop the movement of supporting our women out there who are, we're all struggling together. We've made it through a year. We're all experiencing some PTSD. We're all experiencing caregiver remorse, all of the things, all of it. And Carolyn and I want to be the seed planter of everything that we do. We don't want to destroy, maim, and do harm. And so we feel this is a way we can give you a gift going into the future and then continue our conversations. So I'm excited about it. We'll start advertising it once she and I bring our calendars together and I make sure that the third-party person with the financial is there and willing to come. And we really appreciate having you come and join us. So, Carolyn, I'm going to let you close us out with the last word of our morning. Tell people today how to go into the sun. How do we go into the sun and live seeing through that beautiful sun that is the place that hope lives and faith resides, and then the journey, the sacred journey is waiting for all of us. Can you help us with that?
Yes. One of the words of wisdom that my father shared with me many years ago, but I get it now, and it's just two words. When you do the mission, the commission will follow. You just do the mission, the commission will follow. And it doesn't necessarily have to be money, but money is part of it.
Yeah.
Do the mission.
Just do the mission.
That's all I have to say. Just do the mission.
In the last 10 seconds that we have, Carolyn Brent, I love you to the moon and back. And to all of you out there at Life is a Sacred Journey, love yourself, because when you don't love yourself, you do not show up as a good person. I'm just saying. And if the love that I have for you can go through this Facebook thing to help you love yourself more than you did before you joined us an hour ago, I gladly give it to you. Be the change you want to see. Carolyn Brent, have a wonderful day. Stay on, and we'll close. We're sending you out into the world with a smile in your heart and a smile on your face. Hold on to it until we see you next week. Have a great weekend. Be safe. Love yourself and love somebody else. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All right. All right. We have stopped everything. Let me get rid of that. That was amazing.